From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 9th. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. Cities are often far away from farmland, but more urban schools are finding value in teaching their students about the farming process.
When you think about agriculture holistically, from pre-research all the way to consumers, the food, ag, and natural resources value chain has opportunities for all students to engage in the industry.
St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich explores the growing number of FFA chapters in cities and suburbs. That's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is again trying to have his criminal case thrown out. Page was indicted last year on two felonies and two misdemeanors for allegedly using public money to campaign against a 2025 proposal that would have given the county council more power to fire department heads. Attorneys for Page will be in court in Springfield, Missouri today to present two motions to dismiss. One says the Attorney General's office still has not clearly laid out how Page violated state campaign finance laws. The other says the prosecution is politically motivated, which violates Page's constitutional rights. If the judge rejects the motions, the trial will begin later this month in Springfield. Missouri's two U.S. senators have given initial support for President Donald Trump's decision to attack Iran. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, a Washington University professor says that was expected.
Missouri Senators Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt voted against a war powers resolution restricting Trump from using the military in Iran. Both GOP lawmakers expressed wariness in the past to getting the country involved in foreign conflicts, similar to what Trump said during his presidential campaigns. But Washington University political science professor Carly Wayne says the party line reaction to Trump's attack showcases the polarized nature of American politics.
The Republicans have predictably gone along with Trump's plans, even though they in some ways represent a profound shift in his rhetoric.
Missouri and Illinois Democrats voted for the War Powers Resolution last week. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Missouri Senate committee may vote this week on a bill that would allow nurse practitioners to administer some medications without the oversight of a physician. State law currently requires advanced practice registered nurses to have a collaborative agreement with a physician in order to dispense and prescribe controlled substances. Those are medicines like amphetamines, narcotics, and Valium, and other depressants. Patty Lewis, a Democrat from Kansas City, sponsors one of the two duplicate bills that would remove the requirement.
Nearly every county in the state of Missouri is a healthcare desert. We need more practitioners.
Republican Nick Schroer of St. Charles County sponsors the other duplicate bill. The rule would apply to nurses who have logged at least 2,000 advanced practice hours. Residential drinking water in Cahokia Heights is contaminated with E. coli and other bacteria based on samples collected from 23 homes in an independent study last year. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley visited one woman's home in September as her tap water was tested.
Members of the Equity Legal Services nonprofit are showing volunteers how to sanitize a kitchen faucet before the water is tested. Samples are being collected at Ariana Norris Landry's home in Cahokia Heights. Norris Landry says water from her shower has caused her to break out for years.
I was just jumping in the shower and using it and then wondering why I had this rash. There's no accountability. Nobody is paying attention to here because we're not a developing area.
Residents say the findings validate water quality and health concerns that they've been raising for years. Equity Legal Services plans to share the results with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency and to push for action. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Region's Governing Council says it will seek bids from consulting firms to help develop a regional alignment plan for the area. East-West Gateway's initiative, dubbed the Partnership for Regional Alignment, seeks to bring together leaders from nearly a dozen sectors to develop a common vision for the St. Louis region. Jim Wild is East-West Gateway's executive director. He says government leaders from throughout the area called for the plan at a recent board meeting.
In the 60 years that East-West Gateway has been around, we can't find where there's been any single effort to create a vision for what the St. Louis region should be.
East-West Gateway will release a request for proposals for the project this week. The development of a North St. Louis Negro Leagues Museum is making progress after developers started to seek a permit. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, museum developers say this is a necessary addition to the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood.
The site was announced more than 3 years ago and would be a satellite location of the Kansas City Museum. The project would make use of a former land bank property at the former United Railway substation on North Spring Avenue. The site has since been designated as a historical landmark. Guyton Harvey is the developer behind the museum. He says the location will be right next to the Brickline Greenway and the former Sportsman's Park Stadium.
We hope that it will catalyze other investment and interest in improvements in an underserved community.
Harvey hopes for a groundbreaking later this year. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
McKendree University is the first ever NCAA champions in women's wrestling. The school in Lebanon, Illinois, defeated the University of Iowa in the inaugural event over the weekend. The school had individual champions in three-weight classes, Tristan Kelly, Yu Sakamoto, and Cam Guerin. Another local wrestler, Ex-Mota Pettis of Quincy University, won the national title in her weight class. Collegiate women's wrestling has been building for more than 30 years, but this season was the first time a national championship was held. More than 100 schools around the country field teams. Cities are often quite a distance from the closest farm. But recently, urban schools have found success in teaching students about the farming process. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravitch reports on the surging number of FFA chapters in cities and suburbs.
University City High School is in the center of the sprawl in and around the city of St. Louis, about as insulated as it could be from the wide swaths of farmland outside the city. Tucked in the back of the school, between the gymnasium and the swimming facility, is a shipping container dropped on school grounds last summer. Inside is a hydroponic farm, and students in the school's agriculture program are growing their first batches of lettuce, basil, and collards.
You can grow all year round. You don't have to wait for certain seasons.
That's Corey Bradley, the manager of this hydroponic farm and several others like it throughout the city. He says this farm can produce up to 3 acres of fresh produce for the neighborhood, all while teaching students every step of the farming process.
There's not farms in the urban city, so by having a hydroponic farm in the middle of an urban community, it exposes more people, the youth, to agriculture.
These University City students chartered their FFA chapter in January as the last step to earn state approval for their agriculture program. It's one of the first FFA chapters in St. Louis and its suburbs. But the school is situated in a hub for life sciences. It's within driving distance of huge biotech firms like Bayer and MilliporeSigma, as well as incubators for agriculture startups. University City school officials see diverse career opportunities for their agriculture students. That's true in urban technology centers around the country, according to Christine White with the National FFA Organization.
When you think about agriculture holistically, from pre-research all the way to consumers, the food, ag, and natural resources value chain has opportunities for all students to engage in the industry.
The national organization changed its name from Future Farmers of America to FFA back in 1988 in a bid to reach students in urban centers. Today, nearly a fifth of all FFA chapters are situated in urban and suburban areas. White says cities including Chicago and Philadelphia have strong FFA presence, and more cities are following suit.
It's one of our growing and emerging areas. I think as you start to see suburban areas and urban areas becoming more, not prevalent, but they're seeing themselves as when you look at agriculture from the wider context, especially when you're looking at it from a food, natural resources, and in those areas.
Arlington, Texas has a long history with FFA. The high school's chapter dates back to 1938. Still, FFA advisor Tanner Smith says, like many of his urban students, he didn't come from an agriculture background.
I learned about FFA and the rest is history. I raised goats and cattle and chickens through high school. I went and got a degree in agriculture sciences, and now I'm here teaching these kids.
Smith says his former students have taken careers in diverse fields, including wildlife management, agriculture marketing, and veterinary medicine. In Omaha, Nebraska, Taylor Cooper says not every FFA student plans a career in agriculture. The advisor at Bryan High School points to one of her students who plans to go into cosmetology. She says the junior is making a line of hair products as part of her independent study.
She is growing the plants herself, so then she can actually process them. So really cool, like, even finding that connection there with a career that's not going anywhere ag has been one of our, like, biggest successes for our kids.
Back at University City High School, students are preparing to compete in state and national FFA competitions. Senior Imani Bailey is the new chapter's inaugural president. She's considering a career in biotech after her recent exposure to agriculture.
It still touched my heart just seeing how many people support us and how many people were actually involved in trying to help us. I think about it almost every week.
And that's exactly what's so exciting to farm manager Corey Bradley, who says these hands-on experiences can change students' lives. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was done in conjunction with Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aul, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.